Yeah, there was a man that I knew called Gordon, and Gordon was head of a very large charity. At his funeral, I'm sure he was remembered for a lot of things, a lot of amazing things that he did in his life, and the way he sacrificed and gave himself over to God. One of the things that spoke to me most was that there was a pastor who was very, very ill and needed an operation. And the recovery time took a long time. And I heard that Gordon would drive that long journey into London from where he lived, but he would take a different route, a long way out of his way. And he would go and pick up that man and take him into his workplace. And he would do that in the morning, and he'd take him home in the evening. And that really spoke to me. Spoke to me so much. I just thought, wow, that man is so kind. Do you realize that God wants to be kind to you? Whatever you're going through, whatever difficulty, whatever hardship, you can wake up in the morning and you can say, God wants to be kind to me. Paul writes to a guy called Titus. He's on an island called Crete. What was that island like at the time? Well, a few decades before, there were a few historians who wrote about it, Roman historians, saying it's a place of decadence. It's just so bad, so difficult. That one historian said, they rejoice at highwaymen succeeding, at stealing from others. And Titus has been left on Crete, and he's seeking to continue the work of God there. He's seeking to help the churches on the island. And it's a difficult, difficult job. Church is difficult. That's why God says that his Holy Spirit is given to help us, because church is difficult. Religion is easy. To go through rules and regulations, as you get in many religions, even other, some masquerading as Christian, that you have to do this to be saved, that you have to do this, that you have to do this and you have to do that. And there are so many people coming in, and, you know, church is not like a business, is it? It's not like a business where you may pass an exam or pass a set of interviews, or where you've got that common desire to do something, you've got your qualifications and everything. It's nothing like that. It's people from radically, radically different backgrounds with different hopes and different aspirations. Think of it this way. Imagine that you've got a room, and it's a small room, let's say an average-sized living room, and there's about 30 people that come in and squeeze into that room, and then they bring their luggage in. They bring in 15 suitcases each and start unpacking them, and it's the memories, it's the hurt, it's the pain, it's the hope, and it's the aspiration. Because you imagine how messy and how difficult that room can look, especially when people are wanting space and seeking to push up. Look, I need to get my stuff open, and all sorts. What on earth's that? Why have you got that? And all sorts of things happening. How difficult that can be. And Titus was finding it difficult. And God comes along through Paul and into that mess, into that difficulty, into that hardship, that up and down. He says, remember, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of the things that we had done, but because of his grace and mercy. When Martin Luther King was marching all those years ago, there's one of his leaders who once said this: I never look down upon a person unless I'm in the process of picking him up. Think about that. I never look down upon a person unless I'm in the process of picking him up. God never looks down on you in a worldly way. God's desire is to pick you up, to care for you. You know, sometimes when You find out about people, you might want to walk away. You may walk with somebody for a few years and then suddenly they let you down badly and things go wrong, or things come to the surface that you just didn't know were there. But I want you to know something. God knows every single thing about your life, your failures, your hardship, every single thing. But he never seeks to walk away from you. Never. God wants to be kind to you, and if you've got friends or relatives or people you know that do not know Jesus and you've been praying for them for years, just remember this: God still wants to be kind. Don't think that God isn't kind. God wants to be kind to you. And that picture in Scripture is of bending the neck to look at some. You know what it's like sometimes when people see people on the street, they look the other way or they look right down beyond them. God looks down. Yes, God does look down. God is nothing like us. But he looks down in order to be kind to us. And because God is kind, he will challenge us at times. He'd spend decades, sending prophets into Israel, warning them, challenging them, encouraging them, wanting them to know. And yet still they would turn and go their own way. And eventually he would bring down judgment. But that purpose of judgment is restoration, not destruction. The only thing God wants to destroy is what should never be there in the first place. He's not out to get you. He's never been out to get you. He's only out to get what you've become. Because he knows how damaging it is. And that it doesn't just damage you, it damages the person next to you, the people around you. God wants to be kind. And yes, even when Israel was thrust into Babylonian captivity, that was an act of kindness. Because God disciplines those that he loves. And Israel had thought she could do it in her own strength, with her own ritual, with her own religion, with her own ideas, that she could take God as one amongst many, as not so different. You have power, God says, okay. And he allows this nation to come in and to dominate. And then he takes a man called Daniel. God is my judge. That's what his name means. And he shows that with one person who simply starts by obeying dietary laws and had that man influence and change kings. God wants to be kind. How does that look? Well, to an agricultural community, God says through Isaiah, as the rain and snow come down from heaven to earth and do not return to it without providing bread for the eater, seed for the sower. That's the purpose of my word. Can you imagine that? That he wants to bless us. And of course, his kindness doesn't always mean we'll feel comfortable, does it? Because, well, a lot of things aren't comfortable, but they're right, aren't they? If you exercise, for example, Aaron's going out walking each day, getting ready for this Three Hills conquest. I'm sure that doesn't feel comfortable at times, but it's right, isn't it? Never lose sight. God wants to be kind. And you've got some beautiful pictures in the Old Testament and the New Testament, some of which are breathtaking, will speak to you. But think of those that were going out and they were collecting their harvest. They were taking in the grapes and the things of that. And God says, don't take them all. Don't go back and get the last few, because there's other people that haven't got anything. There's other people who don't have anything. And I want them to receive something. And when you're cutting a field, leave the corner of that field. Why? Because I want those who are struggling, and everybody can struggle. It doesn't always go right with your business. It doesn't always go right with your job. It doesn't always go right with your finances. It doesn't always go right with your health. And God said to his people, I don't want those people to feel small or insignificant. So leave the corner of the field so they can come along late in the evening and they can work and they can cut. Because God is kind. Those words birthed into Titus and through Titus. But when the kindness and love of God as Savior appeared, he saved us. And kindness is an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, because God knows that we just cannot do it on our own. And yet again and again and again, Christians do it on their own. They're caught up in religion. They're caught up in their own thinking. They're caught up in their own history. They're caught up in their own emotions. And they can't seem to break free. They almost forget, as it seems, that God wants to be kind. That God bows the neck to look, to reach out, to be kind. Jesus said, "I'll leave the Holy Spirit." That's an act of kindness, isn't it? I won't leave you as orphans. The Holy Spirit, that one who comes to your defense if you find yourself, as it were, in a court of law and everything's going wrong and you just don't know what to do, and suddenly the world-class barrister comes in and stands beside you. That gives you a little idea of what God desires to do, to stand with you, to help you, to strengthen you, to help you to be kind. Another picture which comes from the Greek of that kindness is of a person who stands back to back. Gary, just stand up here. So if Gary and I were in battle and the enemy was coming against us, and I'd be here with my sword and I'd be fighting, and the paraclete is like another one who comes and stands with you, back to back with you, and who helps you. Isn't that good? Thanks. That's all I've got to say, because that's all God laid on my heart. Kindness. God wants to be kind. Maybe you've lost sight of that. Gary, could you give these cards out? This is the one a month, at the beginning of the month, we give out a word. This is the word today, kindness. Take it, read it, feed upon it, read the verses. Could you pass it around, please? Recognize again. And kindness does not mean that you just leave people as they are. It's not a worldly kindness, a politically correct sort of kindness. Kindness is saying there is a lost eternity to somebody. Kindness is praying that God would convict the world of sin. Kindness saying, "Look, I totally disagree with you because I'm totally for you as a person." Kindness stands up and challenges what our society is doing and saying is okay in schools and the way it teaches certain things, the way it believes certain things, that everybody has to love each other. Yes, but I don't love what everybody does. And it is an act of God's love and grace and mercy, his kindness, that will challenge. But it has to be done from a heart that beats for Jesus, not from a judgmental heart that just wants to, in a sense, lord it over people. But when the love and kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Look at what he could have done. Look at what he could have said. He had every right to destroy this world. He had every right to break it apart piece by piece. He had every right to stand everybody up and to bring up every wrong deed they'd ever done. But he didn't. He came in love and kindness. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." My favorite verse is actually John 3:17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world." So when I'm challenging somebody and saying this is wrong, it's not an act of condemnation. I examine my heart first. It is an act of love. It is because I want the very, very best for them. And if I'm going to talk about somebody, I have to do it as an act of kindness, not pulling them down, not ridiculing them, not reminding them of their past, not saying, "Oh yes, but we know what you're like," not avoiding them. That's not kindness, but an act of kindness. How can I be kind to this person? Because my Lord, my Savior, my King is kind to me. When I wake up in the morning, he desires to show me kindness. Isn't that good? Isn't that amazing? You've got that card in your hand. I'm stopping now. Just read it. Just read it briefly. And then just turn and pray. Act upon it. Just pray for somebody. Maybe say, Lord, I just want to remember that you want to be kind to me. It doesn't seem like it at the moment. Ask God to show you his kindness. Maybe you realize you haven't been kind in a certain situation, the way you've thought about somebody else, the way you've gossiped about them or spoken about them. Repent of that. Ask God to forgive you. Recognize that God wants you to be kind. Say, Lord, I just pray that you'd shower kindness upon that person. Let's just do that for a few moments.